like Blue Bell coming back to stores or Whataburger finally getting eggs back for breakfast, rejoice. The Texas high school football season is finally here, and the Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast has you covered. In our fourth year, Matt, Greg, Corbett, Avi, and Rhiannon give you a rundown to start the 2015 season. We discuss our preseason rankings, talk varsity blues with Rockwall coach Rodney Webb, and preview a gigantic week one to open the season. All of that and more coming up on the podcast. And the season is finally here, the Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast in its fourth year. Wow. Can you believe that, Matt? We've been here every time.
I can't believe that, Corbett.
I can't either.
Where have the years gone?
Where have the years gone? I don't know, but...
From humble beginnings.
We have just let them bleed through our fingers.
Very humble.
How does this compare to season one in terms of surroundings?
Well, actually, we're recording this on the third floor of the Dallas Morning News. We've got Matt Wixon.
Hello.
We've got Avi Zaleon.
Hi.
I said your last name correctly because I've never really said your last name.
It's Zaleon, but nobody.
Zaleon?
Yeah, but nobody.
Man, I messed that up 100%.
Well, it's spelled like Zaleon, so like nobody gets Zaleon. It right the first time.
Well, I'll get it right next time.
Yeah, whatever.
Rhiannon Walker?
You almost got it. Rhiannon Walker.
Rhiannon Walker. Okay. Hey, Greg Riddle, what's up?
Not much. How are you?
We're good.
Greg Riddle,
I pronounced that name correctly.
It's very easy.
We're all surrounding. We're on the third floor. How does it compare? We recorded it in the conference room.
Oh, no.
On the first year
just
on a little mic.
Table.
Oh,
yes.
No.
Around the conference table. Real good sound quality, so everybody's real excited about it. But, hey, we're excited about the start of the 2015 football season. Mm-hmm. Let's do a quick summer recap. AAA is going to play football with Dion, and Susan Elza was hired as the UIL athletic director, and 7-on-7 happened. All right, let's get to our football.
It was a nice fast forward, right?
Well,
there.
You know, yeah. What else happened in the summer? We wrote a summer series about transfers, and lo and behold,
it was a big deal.
There's going to be some transfer news here in the mix. We've got West Mesquite's D. Anderson transferred to DeSoto. He was ruled ineligible by the district executive committee, and that's going in front of the state executive committee probably next week. I haven't heard news as to when that was. Last week, Jalen Nelson, who transferred from DeSoto to Duncanville, was ruled ineligible. He's the second transfer from those two schools to be ruled ineligible in the last 6 months. Matthew Siggers, a linebacker, who was the newcomer of the year in the district, so it's
very
not an insignificant player, but both those guys will have eligibility next year if they choose to stay at Duncanville. But Anderson, really, this is his last shot. And given I was at the district executive committee, I don't necessarily think he's got a real good chance there at the state level. But we will see. We're going to just run through in part one our season preview. We're just going to talk about our top 20 mention a couple of new faces. Matt wrote a story to start our high school preview coverage about all the new faces in high school football that are in some pretty significant
coaching
programs.
Coaching,
yeah. And then we'll talk 4A and 5A as well. We've also have an interview for the first time ever. Coach Rodney Webb will join us in part two. Mm-hmm. And then part three, we will talk about the games of the week. Matt.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Tell us a little bit about the new coaches on the scene. We've got some pretty big names and some pretty big places.
Yeah, and I mean, some of them are actually familiar names, and even if they weren't head coaches, they played huge roles with their teams. I think the biggest one would be Reginald Samples going from Skyline. He was the head coach at Skyline. Basically, took a program that had never been anything, if you will. I mean, they could be somewhat competitive, but hadn't really won any playoff games of note, and took him to the state semifinals twice. And he is over at Duncanville, and which I think we've kind of always, for like the last 10 years or so, have thought of them as like a sleeping giant.
Right.
Right or wrong, but because they, it's a one school town, pretty big enrollment base, and then
open enrollment too.
Open enrollment, and it seemed like a very good opportunity for Samples. Suburban schools have some advantages over the DISD. He went over there, and I think that's going to be really interesting. He turned Skyline around fairly quickly. I think it took him a couple years to really get Skyline to where he wanted to be, or at least close to where he wanted to be. So that's one of the big ones. Of course, at Euless Trinity, Steve Lineweaver retired, legendary Steve Lineweaver. His longtime offensive coordinator, Chris Jensen, 15 years as the offensive coordinator. He's now the head coach. I don't see that changing much at Trinity. That's not to take away from Lineweaver, because he basically built them into the juggernaut they are. But Jensen's been watching him, learning from him, all these things. And the whole staff is intact other than Coach Lineweaver. So you've got that. Then, of course...
how about our number one team in the area? DeSoto.
DeSoto, yes. Of course, that's a huge one. Claude Mathis, who kind of did a lot of the same things that we were talking about these other coaches. DeSoto was a competitive squad for sure before he got there, but he took them to the next level. I mean, they went to the state semis twice. He is now on SMU staff as
running backs coach.
Running backs coach for Chad Morris. And his offensive coordinator, like those offensive coordinators, just elevate them. Todd Peterman is now the head coach at DeSoto. And I think it's pretty interesting. Peterman has been the offensive coordinator there since Mathis was there.
Right.
And he said, I think this is the most talented team we've ever had at DeSoto. And when you're at DeSoto, that is definitely saying something.
I think DeSoto is our – was it a unified pick as number one? Was it 4-0 right now?
Which is pretty amazing considering Allen hasn't lost in 3 years.
Right. Well, they are on a 43-game winning streak, which is one of the state's best. But DeSoto – it's led by Tristan Wallace, who's going to Ohio State. He missed a lot of last year with injury. That's why Jalen Nelson was so important as far as last year's concern for DeSoto. But, you know, with Nelson transferring away, they don't really have the coverage there. But if Tristan Wallace has a good season, you're talking about potentially a 3,000-yard passing, 2,000-yard rushing type of player. And he's surrounded by a lot of talent.
Right.
One of the biggest offensive lines they've ever had coming back. They've got a couple of good running backs and receivers, Kadarian Nixon. KD Nixon now is what he's going by, but he had 47 catches as a sophomore. You have Ladarin Brown going to Oklahoma State. He's an Oklahoma State commit, but one of the fastest running backs in the area. And you've got a good, strong defense, as always. They've just never been able to get over that hump, be it in the semifinals or in the second round like last year.
That hump is Allen.
That hump is Allen, our number two team. But do we think that that's going to happen this year, just at least in the preseason?
Are they going to play?
No. Yeah. Are they going to get over that hump?
Oh. Well, I guess going by us being a consensus number one for DeSoto, I'm going to say yes. But I feel much more strongly about DeSoto and Allen playing in the playoffs. I think it's pretty much inevitable.
I think you're absolutely right. Allen, number two, 16-0 with Tom Westerberg at the helm. He's one of the winningest coaches in the area as far as winning percentage. He's only lost 16 games in 13 seasons there in Allen. But Kyler Murray is gone to Texas A&M, and what you're left with is a team that has a ton of defensive stars. I went out there and watched them a couple of times in practice. They've got talent at every level, got a great rush in, got great linebackers, got a defensive back. But the thing that made him go last year was Murray. He's gone. Everybody assumed that the transfer from Minnesota, Seth Green, would come in. He's an Oregon pledge, that he would come in and take the starting job.
He's an impressive-looking dude.
He's a big guy. Yeah, he's about 6'4", maybe 6'5". But as we speak, Allen is currently has a quarterback battle between Green and Mitchell Jonkey. Jonkey actually started the scrimmage. I went out and watched them for the first half against Arlington Martin. He's splitting times with the ones with Green pretty much evenly. They flip-flop on a day-to-day basis. But that's an interesting story. Neither of those guys is going to be Kyler Murray. I think that Kyler Murray is a once-in-a-lifetime kind of player. But they do need to be kind of a careful steward of an Allen offense that really is young. They've got some young receivers and two sophomore running backs in the mix. Got an experienced offensive line with Greg Little, one of the nation's biggest tackle prospects for this year's class. But it'll be interesting to see what they do. I don't expect them to lose a game. I expect them to have a 53-game winning streak going into the playoffs. But that game against DeSoto is going to be a big one.
They need to get the running back situation figured out.
Well, they've got a couple of young guys, and I think running back is the position. On the field, that is, with the exception of some blitz pickups, it's the one where you can have some inexperience, where if you have a talented enough running back and a good enough offensive line, just don't fumble the ball. Get us 4 yards and we'll be good. Allen's offense is not necessarily predicated on its running attack, although Murray certainly helped them out, being able to pull the ball
basically
down.
A running back there.
Well, he had 1,500 yards rushing last year and 4,000 for his career. Cedar Hill, number three, Joey McGuire back again, but has to replace a lot of talent. You're talking about guys like Akka Cedric Ware, who's had a great start at USC. Justin McMillan went to LSU. DeMarcus Lodge, who was their best player, went to Ole Miss. Richard Moore, linebacker, went to A&M. They've got a lot of holes to fill.
Somebody pointed out on Twitter that we actually, I don't think, have anybody from Cedar Hill in the area.
We don't, because when we were putting that together, and I was like, there's got to be a Cedar Hill guy. And I think maybe that's a testament to, you know, what Cedar Hill, or could be, to what they do this year, because I still think they're going to be an incredible team.
Yeah.
They don't have – and that's not to say – I mean, they may not fit in a certain way. I mean, their quarterback, Avery, is –
Avery Davis.
Yeah. Why do I want to say Johnson? Too much Dallas Mavericks in my background. Avery Davis, I mean, I think he's going to be a fantastic quarterback. He's not an all-area quarterback at this point. He's just becoming a junior, but he's a fantastic
But he very player. Well – not a preseason but all-area.
He has the potential.
He could move into that role because when you talk to Coach Joey McGuire about it, he's so amped about it. He's like, he's Will Cole with Justin McMillan's arm and – like, there's a whole bunch of things that comparisons that really put him in the lofty
status. Well, Cedar Hill's history over the last 5 years, it always seems like there are guys who it seems to come out of nowhere, but it's just because they're playing behind somebody who's really talented. I mean, Quincy Adebojo a few years ago, he had like 6 catches, something like that, before his junior year, and then just busted out. Or maybe it was before his senior year. I'm not even sure.
Oh, yeah, he had a real, like, I think that might have been before his junior year.
Okay. But I mean, so it's always the same with Cedar Hill. There's guys who are going to be stars. We just don't know about them yet, and we find out about them early in the season.
I was going to say, just some of the plays that Avery Davis made in the state title game as a sophomore. I mean, are you kidding me? It was nuts.
Well, Keegan Williams comes from Stephenville as a transfer. Charleston Rambo comes from Woodrow Wilson as a transfer. And they've got some kids in the pipeline that Coach McGuire says are hungry. Watch out for them. Number four is Skyline. New coach there. Derek Roberson comes out of I guess it's not really retirement, but working at DISD administration as assistant AD. He was formerly Brian Adams' coach, but he has some big shoes to fill, taking Sample's job. But he gets a pretty good team. I know people are, other media members outside of the Dallas Morning News are a little down on Skyline, say that they don't necessarily have the depth that they once had, but they've still got a lot of talent.
I think depth has been a concern for them many times, and for most high school teams, it's going to be a problem. But I think they set up the way they look just like they have in recent years. I mean, De'Leon Ward, terrific running back. You know, a quarterback has always been a little bit of a question for them, although they got a great job from Casey Johnson last year.
Which is kind of out of the blue because no one expected Casey Johnson was actually going to play safety and then he threw 36 touchdowns with no interceptions.
Yeah.
And had a fantastic season. So, but, you know, the staff is gone. It's an entirely new staff. And, Coach Roberson did bring in some old Brian Adams guys. I think the old Brian Adams coach, Ron Grace, ended up going there as OC. So there's some question marks there as far as, can they keep this machine going? But should be a lot. There's certainly enough talent there. Malik Webb is a fantastic receiver. Joe Wallace, defensive tackle, is one of the best in the area. We talked a little bit about Trinity. Trinity gets Tyler Natee and Jayron Wilson back, but they've got a lot of other holes. I think they only return something like 5 starters, which is a fairly low amount, unless you're talking about Highland Park or Southlake Carroll. Southlake Carroll turned 7, but they graduated their quarterback, Ryan Agnew, and they are our number 6 team. But it's all about Lil Jordan. Good old Lil Jordan.
He's only 6'4".
He's not that little. And I don't exactly know what he's going to do at the next level.
It's not that he's not that little. He's not little.
He's not little. He's 6'4", probably about 205, 215,
by
somewhere
normal
around there.
He's pretty big,
There's like football standards and then normal people standards.
Right. Well, at what point do you drop the Lil moniker?
I think it's crazy when I look in these preseason guides and he's listed as Lil Jordan Humphrey.
Yeah,
like
it's his name.
That's
not a nickname.
No.
That's awesome.
I guess when he wants it to be dropped is when it will be dropped.
Best believe it.
Yeah.
Or else at this point, he determines if it's dropped or not.
Yeah.
Carroll's gone to the third round of the playoffs, at least the third round for the past 6 years. It's going to be a tough task this year because I think that they're matched up with Denton Guyer in the second round. I think that's the logical matchup, and Guyer should be pretty good. We'll talk about them in a sec. Arlington Martin, number 7. That's one of my sleepers. Granted, they're going to have a terrible road in the Class 6A Division 1, Region 1, but they've got a lot of talent back. They just beat Allen in a scrimmage. It's a scrimmage, I know.
Right.
Never mind.
But in the playoffs last year, they gave Allen a really good game.
Nick Smith with a fantastic game there. He's back. Their quarterback's back. Eric Walker, Christian Levy, their wide receiver back. They do have some questions on defense, but Bob Wager, one of the best coaches in the area.
Nick Smith with a K.
Yeah, we found out recently he's adding a K to his name, and we apologize for all the times we've misspelled it. Number eight, Mansfield. Mansfield?
Yeah.
They were 7-4 last year.
They beat Cedar Hill last year.
They did beat Cedar Hill last year. And the District of Doom, I don't think there's any district.
Yeah, we've already talked about three teams from
three
that
teams.
District.
Well, four if you count, include Duncanville.
True.
You're talking about a team that returns the offensive sophomore of the year in Kennedy Brooks. You know, Coach Hume does a great job there, and people in that district are talking about them as a potential sleeper pick to win the district. You know, if DeSoto's not going to do it, then Mansfield might be the team to do it. At number nine, we have Guyer. John Walsh always does a great job. The big question mark is, can they do it in 6A? You know, they had some success in 5A with his son at quarterback, J.W. They've got Sean Robinson, who looks like
back when 5A was the top.
Yeah, when 5A was the largest classification. They've had success in 4A, of course, winning a couple of state titles with Gerard Hurd. I think that Robinson is like Gerard Hurd, except for maybe a little bit better passer, which means that other teams should watch out. He's certainly a dynamic athlete, and they've got a lot of players back. Michael Carrillo, their linebacker, is
he had a 4.2 million tackles last year.
Yeah,
something like that.
He's awesome. I think he was the district defensive MVP.
He was.
Offensive and defensive MVPs there. Arlington Lamar rounds out our top 10. That's got a new coach at the head of that program, Laban DeLay.
Yep.
They were a shock first-round loss in the playoffs, which I think might have precipitated a coaching change. A lot of talent back, including Shane Bouchel, who's going to Texas at quarterback. Kofi Boateng, receiver, also highly recruited.
Arkansas,
and Chris Owens.
Right?
I don't know if he's committed or not.
Oh, okay.
I think he's undecided.
I think he is undecided. Chris Owens going to Alabama. So there's a good offensive tackle.
That's
there.
A good school for football, I hear.
I think so. Yeah. That's what I've heard. Oh, you talk about the rest. The rest of our top 10. Mesquite Horn at 11. I think they should be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Overton does a great job there. Good Rockwall.
There.
We'll talk to Rockwall coach Rodney Webb here in a second. But they've got a lot to replace in losing Chris Warren and
Xavier.
Xavier Castile. It's tough to match the production of those two guys. South Grand Prairie is surprising number 13, I think. But they've got a lot back. Greg Eisenworth, he's going to Ole Miss as a kind of a utility guy. I think they'll play him at linebacker or safety or somewhere. But he's
great
a heck of a football player.
Great secondary.
Oh, absolutely. Fantastic secondary. Highland Park at 14. Mm-hmm. You talk about a program that always gets it done. And
they're replacing a lot of guys, too. They always do.
But Randy Allen did a great job last year. People thought that they were going to get punched in the mouth moving to 6A, and they really didn't miss a beat. They went 10-2.
They're in the Landry Classic as well.
Absolutely. We got Plano at 15, Jadon McCullough. I think they've got a lot back. Brandon Stevens, their running back, is one of the higher recruits in the area. But it's an interesting district because it's Allen and then a whole bunch of other teams. Mm-hmm. We've got two other teams in the top 20, McKinney Boyd at 16 and Marcus at 20. Saxey at 17, an interesting choice. Devin Duvernay, the fastest player in the state.
I've heard some really big, wide range of opinion on them. Some people think they're going to be fantastic, and some don't see them making the playoffs.
They have the athletes.
They do have skill guys. I don't know if they have a line that can carry them. And their quarterback situation is up in the air.
Yeah.
Because Jalen Maiden, the younger brother of Jaron Maiden, he's just a sophomore, and it looks like he's going to be, at least I think he's got a leg up on the starting role.
So early on it might be a little
it was
dicey.
Between two
might
guys
be a little dicey. And that's that district is going to be pretty tough.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I think they'll make the playoffs. But, Rowlett is a team that I had ranked higher. They didn't make our rankings, but personally I had them ranked higher. They returned a senior quarterback, Logan Bonner, who's going to Arkansas State. Number 18, Irvin MacArthur, a team that might challenge Skyline
for
the 9-6A title.
If MacArthur's going to do it, this is the year. They got a lot back.
I went out.
Kane Harden, pretty good quarterback.
Yep. Artis Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
Saw him in practice, just yoked up.
Big old dude.
He's a big old dude, and he was wearing dog tags.
And
he had a really cool beard.
He's on a mission.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's like, he's a grown
man. That's a
man.
Grown man, yeah.
Yep. And number 19, Coppell. Coppell's got a lot, they've got, may miss some offensive firepower, but they do have some good, Obi Obiallo, a good receiver. and should have an interesting quarterback battle. Brady McBride, Joe McBride, now the athletic director there. Brady's coming back from Dripping Springs, where he was slated to.
You know, it's interesting though. Capel, the question marks for them, like Coach DeWitt was saying a little bit this year, are the lines, which is interesting because Capel has had some massive lines. I mean, they were just enormous when you go out there. You think maybe the college team got on the
right? Maybe well, because last year Connor Williams was what 6'6", and they had a guy who was 6'8". Yeah, there was a guy there that was like 6'7" or 6'8". And before that, you had Solomon Thomas. Who's probably going to be a starter at Stanford this year at defensive tackle. So a lot of talent there in 6A. 5A, we'll run through it really quickly. The District of Doom in 5A, it's got to be 14-5A, right, Greg?
Yes, definitely.
I read that like somewhere. That.
I think we read that in Greg Riddle's story.
the little SEC, as they're calling it.
Oh, I like that. Mansfield Timberview is our number one ranked team. They do lose quite a bit, but they've got 10 starters back. Devin Williams is kind of going to be the linchpin there, I think.
Yeah, he's quite the athlete. Going to Texas State.
Yep, and you've got Lancaster at number two, transfer from Kimball.
Kimball quarterback.
Kimball quarterback. One of the things that they've not really been able to do is throw the ball consistently. They get Ryan Ross, who was a pretty accomplished passer, almost threw for 3,000 yards at Kimball last year. That's going to open that offense.
They now
up.
Have three players who have taken varsity snaps as quarterback on that team.
Oof.
So I think they're going to use Alexander as a quarterback some this year.
Oh, yeah, Terrell Alexander.
Just like they did stuff. Last year.
Yeah. I think it's going to be used a lot similarly than Nick Harvey. You remember old Nick? As a junior, ended up transferring out of the area.
That was one of the hardest
years,
transfers on Lancaster that has ever
was a killer.
When he went down to Houston.
You got Sauk at three. They're not in that district, but Mansfield Lakeridge is in that district.
You got Jet
four.
Duffy. He's pretty incredible.
Duke Carter and Jet Duffy, both on the all-name team, I hope. Are we doing an all-name team?
It was becoming really difficult.
Avi.
I'll try. We've had a lot of stuff going on.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
We'll talk about that later, maybe.
We did have a top 100, like 100 days to watch, and then we missed a couple of days.
No. Nope. The days were there. Yeah. The days are there.
Do we label them as days?
Well, no, but it was because they
got to go back in
the
system and you got to go back in the system and label.
Because we were publishing.
No one
Sarah
is gonna.
And you can't. You can't tag. Yeah. See now you've opened up a whole thing.
Right.
The point being, there has been.
We have had a lot of content. Just go on our website and read it.
Yeah.
People. Five. Innes.
Like an accusation.
I know. It's like I was getting so angry there all of a sudden.
Well, it's like the only thing I've done. I mean,
number five, Innes, state champs, but losing.
I think that's a lot of respect for their program because they've got to replace a lot.
Yep.
And I think they are going to because I think their coach is great and I think they've got a good pipeline of kids.
But
now.
Quarterback, running back, rush end, all kind of all area, all district types, and they're replacing all those guys.
And folks are still picking them real high.
Absolutely. Well, I think the expectations are there now for Coach Jack Alvarez that they're going to be able to do it every year. Mesquite Poteet at six. Talk about people who've lost something. DeAndre McNeil and Malik Jefferson. Both of those guys were real big playmakers. They do get their quarterback, I think, Caleb Fletcher?
Fletcher. Mm-hmm. And Cody Grove says he thinks they're actually better than last year, even if they don't have those big bomb names like that.
Number eight, Lake Dallas. We made this ranking probably before Dagan Hand got his ACL tear. They're going to get bumped down a little bit. He was the district MVP, but I don't think he's going to be around until
mid-season, hopefully.
Yeah, if that. Number nine, the Colony. I'm huge on the Colony this year. Talked to Coach Rudy Rangel. Went out and talked to him on the first day of practice when they were just sitting inside trying to stay cool. Khalil Banks, their running back is looking phenomenal.
He's going to get some work on that team.
Yeah. Well, they were
the
actually
will hand off.
They were actually in a boxing match with Innes and just couldn't finish the deal. They were ahead in the second half against Innes in the playoffs, and then just had some breakdowns in the secondary and Innes broke some really long plays. I think given their offense and given their style of play, they'll be able to physically match pretty much anybody. And if they get in a game with a big name, big high profile team, they can slow the game down with their running attack. They're not going to surprise anybody with what they do. They run like six plays,
Coach said they're going to be much more balanced this year.
Don't believe
him. The run will come first.
Don't believe him.
He said they're going to be more balanced.
They will be able to throw. I think he was confident that he had some quarterbacks that could to throw the ball a little bit, but they're going to be a run first, smash mouth kind of team.
I mean, don't if it isn't broken.
Right. Lovejoy at 10. Talk about a team that could throw the ball. Bowman Sales, he's back. Aaron Fuller, he's back.
Yeah. I wonder if Bowman Sells likes to be called Bambi anymore.
I keep on saying Bowman Bambi.
As a freshman, they called him Bambi because he was a freshman starter for them. He's now a senior.
Yeah, probably not, would be my guess.
No. It's kind of like the Lil at Lovejoy this point. He's Lil, not Bambi or Lil.
Lovejoy has a lot of haters out there. There's a lot of people that we kind of saw on the old Twitter that was like, wait, Lovejoy, I don't know about them.
Well, I think, quarterback, most important position. I hate to say it, but it is. And they've got one of the area's best. Not going to Clemson, as I always write now. He's always going to Clemson. He's going to Houston.
Yep.
Number 11, Wes Mesquite, Jeff Neal. But that, I think, might be a little high. If D. Anderson was expected to be a huge portion of their offense.
LSU commit. Yeah.
But he is no longer there. Now they've got Donta Coleman, who is kind of a tight end slash receiver. He'll be one of the main targets. But it's a tough district, and losing a guy like Anderson might bump you down a little bit. Number 12, probably a little underranked, is Rockwall Heath. They don't do a lot of things sexy, but they did win 10 games last year. And Coach Moss is excited about some young kids coming up. Number 13, McKinney North, graduates Ronald Jones, who goes to USC. But they've got
Justin
Madubuike. A heck of a lineman. He's a big man.
Madubuike is a beast, and he is our preseason all-area defensive player of the year. And should be in the mix. Number 14, Frisco Heritage. First Frisco school. They've got Ken Ann Wongwu and Bubba Ogbabor back. So talk about all name teams.
All
boom.
Name, right? Yeah.
Those guys are, got big-time offers, Big 12-type schools. And, they've certainly, I think, have the most talent of any Frisco ISD school. But talk about a district that is confused.
It's going to be very tight down to the last game.
There were
six teams within one game of each other, first through sixth.
Last year. Because a team that I was really high on, I'm really high on this year, is Lone Star. But Lone Star missed the playoffs last year.
Yeah, they went 7-3, I think.
7-3 and missed the playoffs. So you got Wiley East at 15 and Wiley at 16. Dun, dun, dun. That'll be a good battle there.
Watch out for Eno Benjamin.
Eno Benjamin is a hoss. I saw Eno Benjamin play soccer, and he was a pretty good soccer player. He was one of their forwards on Wiley East, but he's a running back. He's being recruited by Texas and those types. Big guy who can run fast. Wakeland at 17, Lone Star at 18. We're talking about a crowded district
Frisco schools. Yeah,
when you include the colony in that district. 19, I don't agree with this one at all. Waxahachie, Greg Riddle. What's the deal? You had him the highest ranked.
The Fighting Kittens.
They added an All-State quarterback, an All-State tight end.
Oh, All-State from where?
You don't
Washington.
Corbett, when have you been to Washington and watched Washington high school football?
No, that's a good question.
You are throwing rocks in a house of glass.
I watched Waxahachie at 7-on-7.
They don't have houses. They live in tents.
I know it's 7-on-7, but Waxahachie, the talent level is pretty good out there. Their skill positions are really good.
Their coach does know a little bit about quarterbacking and throwing the ball.
All right. They were 2-8 last year, and they're in a district that's got buzzsaws.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't mean that I think they're gonna win the district, and that district is going to be
tough. Are they going to make the playoffs?
In that district, it's going to be tough.
Them and Mansfield Summit may go down to the
side. I think Arlington Seguin will beat Waxahachie, so there. Darian Hammond is going to run for 1,000 yards in that game. And then Frisco Centennial
will throw for 1,000.
Yeah, whatever. The tight end supposedly the real deal. I've heard several coaches tell me that the tight end is Devin Smith, Devin Brady.
He's been compared to Jason Witten by their coach.
Jason Witten?
Gronkowski. I heard Gronkowski without the booze. Mm.
Right.
I hope.
Then that's no Gronk I want to know.
I know. Right. It's no party Gronk. Okay.
Ooh, Gronk.
And then Centennial rounds it out. So you're talking about five teams in our rankings from the Frisco District, which is a little bit surprising. Frisco not making deep playoff runs, but last year they actually, Heritage – made a nice little run. They ran into a very, very loaded Sauk team. But someone asked me, is there going to be a time in which Frisco will have a legitimate state championship contender in Class 5A? Matt?
I'd say, I think it's possible. There's a lot of talent out there. The big thing is, they're about to open their ninth school.
Right.
And they're, I think,
you got
the projections
Lebanon,
are for now 12.
Is it Lebanon,
Lebanon Trail? That opens next year.
And Reedy?
Reedy opens this year. I think Reedy is the eighth. And Lebanon Trail will be the ninth. Yeah. And there are plans for 12. So until it's really difficult, there's a lot of growth out there. There's a lot of talent out there. But until, they kind of get situated where boundaries aren't being changed and things like that, it's hard to establish a program and just, roll. And people usually don't become a champion in 1 year. Usually you work up to it in several years. And some of those moving boundaries can be difficult.
You know, having talked to some kids who had two transfers in their high school careers, like they went somewhere as a freshman, somewhere as a sophomore and junior, and then had an option to go somewhere as a senior and took it. That's hard as a coach to maintain continuity.
Let's keep building schools till we win state.
Right.
And then we'll reassess.
Or you can just shut down schools and just have one high school that's, you know, Frisco High School that's got 19,000 graduating kids.
Well, imagine if, like,
small colleges.
Imagine if, like, Mansfield created a 6A. I mean, that would be a power. They have one
6A school.
But
4 or 5A schools.
Right.
I think a lot of these schools would be pretty hard to beat if they were, you know, the size of Allen. Mm-hmm. But Allen, there's something special there. No denying it. 5A, Class 4A and others. Our rankings are Argyle number one, no surprise. Kennedale number two. Kennedale had a great run last year, but it's interesting to see what they do without Juwan Washington.
Right.
You know, Argyle, you know that they lost some guys. Nick Ralston, the all-world running back who, you know, in the state championship game, I don't think I've ever seen a performance that impressive. Guy had 46 carries or something like that, and they just ran the brakes off of him. Salina, number three. Sunnyvale, number four. Pilot Point, number five. Ferris, number six. Sanger, number seven. Number eight, Carrollton Ranchview. Number nine, Lincoln. Number 10, Kauffman. I think Lincoln will be better, and I think Kauffman will be better. You know, Kauffman's in a district where...
That's why they're in the rankings, Corbin.
Well, absolutely. But Kauffman's in a district with Athens and Van. I think those are teams that Athens might be the clear favorite there. Let's go Privates. Plano Prestonwood, number one ranked team in our area, but they're ahead of Bishop Dunn, which is very interesting. You wrote about Bishop Dunn, Avi.
I did.
They got a lot of kids coming back.
They do. They lost some, they gained some. You know, I mean, they lost their quarterback. They lost their leading rusher to a torn ACL, actually.
That's a killer.
Yeah.
Ray John Cunningham?
Indeed. He's got great hair, though.
Oh, that's good.
But, you know, his knee's kind of messed up, so the hair doesn't help there. But
look good in that junior photo, though.
It will. Well, the really sad thing was they had a media day, and they made him available, like, to the media, and I'm talking to him as if he's going to, like, play this year, you know. And then I learned later, it's like, oh, yeah, he's torn his ACL. I'm like, oh, man. Well, I feel bad now. But, I mean, they just keep getting transfers in. They do, like, particularly Red Oak. I mean, they just, from some of these schools, I mean, they're not worried at all. And I think that's kind of maybe, I mean, you guys would know better than me, but maybe a little bit of change of culture, maybe a little change of momentum where those private schools are beginning to become more formidable options, and powers for some of these kids transferring out of public schools.
Chevin Callaway from Red Oak, I believe.
Mm.
Right?
I'd have to look it up. I don't remember.
I'm asking you questions.
Certainly,
you don't
Bishop
know the
Dunn.
Answer.
Bishop Dunn has become a more viable transfer option in the last five, six
years.
Oh yeah,
years. They've really turned that program around.
If you're winning,
I mean, there's going to be some kids
program.
That are deemed ineligible by the UIL. They're going to be looking for a new home.
De Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to go to AAA Academy. It's just my gut because
starting. That's like what's the time window for these things?
Well, you can just transfer in. I don't think AAA, I don't know what their schedule is. We've asked for their schedule, but we have not received it yet.
What's a roster?
What is a roster? Thanks, Dion. Okay, number 3-4 with All Saints. Talk about a program that doesn't get a lot of transfers. I talked to Aaron Beck. He said that just because of attrition in their schools, they don't have a lot of new kids able to move in because there's not that many spots available. They do have a very good tackle, Michael Williams. He's back, and he should be one of the area's best. He's a Stanford pledge. So he's a smart kid, but he benched 400 pounds in the offseason, which is a lot of weight.
I can't do that.
I cannot. Number four, Bishop Lynch, and number five, Argyle Liberty Christian with Nick Starkle at quarterback.
Starkle.
Yep, Starkle going to Oklahoma State.
Indeed.
Small schools. We got Parish Episcopal at number one, defending state champs. You got number two, Trinity Christian Cedar Hill, defending state champs. Number three, Dallas Christian with one of the winningest coaches in the area, Mike Wheeler. Number four is Grapevine Faith, and number five is Fort Worth Christian. That's it for part one. Thanks for listening to that, everybody. We'll be back with an abbreviated part two coming up. Now, for the first time ever, we're having a live telephone interview here on the Sports Day HS podcast. It's Rockwall's Rodney Webb.
Rockwall's.
Coach Webb, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, guys. How are y'all?
We're doing great. Coach Webb, not familiar with podcasts, but is familiar with iTunes, and supposedly, according to Avi, will be on iTunes this year, right?
It will be on iTunes.
That'll be very exciting. Hey, Coach, talk to me a little bit about scrimmages. You don't like scrimmages. Why not?
Well, I'm just not really sure what the end result needs to be of a scrimmage. You know, when we wrestle with this as a staff all the time, you know, are you going out to gain confidence? Are you going out to find out about the kids that you don't know about already? Really, a lot of that was figured out in the spring, and we just want to get out of a scrimmage healthy. And you know, we wrestle with, you know, what do we show? What do we not show? How vanilla are we? Do we play a kid who is a returning starter that we already know about? And if we play him, why are we playing him? What are we hoping to gain by playing him? Does he need to play? And if he doesn't play, you know, does that in turn affect our success and then our confidence level coming out of the scrimmage? So I'm just not really sure I've had a real good handle on ever in 25 years on what we hope to accomplish from a scrimmage. And so I don't think I've ever come out of one feeling really good about our performance.
You have been known to be one of the more innovative high school head coaches. Would you ever consider just killing varsity scrimmages?
Well, it's a good time to ask me that because we didn't look very good in our scrimmage last Friday, and so I would say yes. I'm not sure I want to scrimmage anymore.
Now, speaking of innovation, Sports Radio's 1310's The Ticket, Dan McDowell actually said that you were gunning to be the next Chip Kelly when you rolled out your two-punter formation last year. Talk to us a little bit about the two-punter scenario. Why did you start implementing it, and how many college jobs have you received since that point?
Believe it or not, I have not earned any college coaching opportunities based on my two-punter alignment, nor have I been asked to speak at any clinics about the two-punter formation. It's really a funny story. We were a shield punt team, which is basically what a lot of people are going to, the big splits up front, mm-hmm. a three-man shield and one punter. And out of that shield formation, we could punt traditionally or we could rugby-style punt off to the right. We had a right-footed punter. Well, we also had a good left-footed punter who was about as good as our right-footed punter. And at the end of the spring, I was talking to our left-footed punter, and he said, "Coach, are you ever going to let me rugby punt to the left?" And I said, "Well, we're really not set up to do that." And it sort of hosed that kid off completely from being a part of our punting unit. And so going into the summer, I had the idea, what if we just put both of them out there at the same time and we can gain all the advantages of a shield punt formation with the additional advantage now of we can rugby punt to the left, we can rugby to the right, or we can traditional punt. And so we did it all last year, and it worked pretty well most of the time. We shanked a few punts, but it had nothing to do with the fact there were two punters out there. It had more to do with the fact they're high school kids who are going to shank punts from time to time. But it was an effective punt formation for us. It certainly increases the odds of faking. You know, there are a lot of advantages to it. It's a very, very simple concept to teach our kids. And we're actually doing it again this year. Our left-footed punter's back, so when we have another good right-footed punter. So the two-punter formation has not died yet at Rockwall High.
Were you amazed how much talk there was about it?
I was, actually. I was. It was, and I know those guys on the ticket, there was a lot of sarcasm in there, too, but which is fine. But I've actually gotten phone calls from around the state, people that have seen it or heard about it, and I think there are a few other schools. I know up in the Panhandle there are a couple schools right now that are doing it just from kind of through word of mouth.
Yeah. See, there you go. Awesome. Spreading the word. Okay, well, you went 12-1 last year. You won 100 games. That's your 100th win was the last win of the season for you. You had said over email that you were actually hadn't even started adding up your wins, that was like kind of the first time you'd actually realized when you added that one year that you were at Ruidoso, New Mexico, mm-hmm. that you had hit 100 wins. Is that a milestone for you, or you're not a coach that really worries about that? I know some coaches, you can ask them how many wins you have, and they'll tell you right off the drop of the hat, "I've got this many wins."
Yeah, I just honestly, I just hadn't paid attention to it. I mean, I'm proud of the games that we win, and I'm not going to deny that, you know, winning a lot of games is pretty cool. But I had never really added it up before, and I was thinking, if I'd have known that was my 100th win when we won our second round playoff game last year, you know, maybe I would have celebrated a little bit more or something. But I just really, it didn't seem possible that I still feel like a young guy, and I feel like I haven't been coaching all that long, and it just didn't seem possible to, you know, to reach that milestone. But it's pretty cool, honestly, that I have, and I'm certainly proud of it. I'm not really sure, you know, how long I'm going to go, and I'm not going to be one of those guys that, you know, has any kind of a goal to reach 200 wins or anything. You know, that's not going to keep me in the profession. What's going to keep me in the profession is loving my job and loving the fact that I work with kids, and it's really not going to motivate me any more than anything else.
Is there a big cake plan for 101? Like, they kind of missed that one, so we'll get it out.
Belated 100th win.
It's like the balloons drop, and there's that one extra one.
Yeah, with our schedule this year, I hope I get 101 sooner than later.
Rio Doce, New Mexico. You mm-hmm. were a ski patrol assistant or ski patrol safety person? What was your job as the assistant ski patrol person?
Well, so... Yeah, I just worked on the ski patrol. It was just a group of people that we were first aid certified, and we wore the big Red Cross on our jacket. And what we did, I did it to get free skiing, honestly. And we would go up there, and you got to ski for free. You had this Red Cross jacket on, and you would have to spend an hour a day in the first aid room helping people. And we were just assisting. We didn't, you know, we weren't performing open heart surgery or anything in there, but you know, we were helping people. That came in with altitude sickness or assisting when people came in with injuries. And when we skied on the mountain, we just had to help people that were injured. We had radios, and you know, sometimes we'd have to pull people down on sleds and things like that. So it was a fun time. It really was.
Funny story. I actually was helped by the Ski Apache Ski Patrol when I fell off the ski lift about midway in the ride. I dropped about 40 feet and hit the ground when I was in fourth grade. And yeah, and it might have been Coach Webb. It probably wasn't.
It probably wasn't, but it could. What year would that have been, Corbin?
I have no idea.
Well, it probably
did you,
wasn't.
Did you wear
me,
mirror? Did you wear mirror shades?
I did not. Oh, I did not.
That's a miss.
What's the strangest injury, mishap, whatever episode that you had to attend to?
Well, the funny story is that I actually ran into somebody one time as a ski patroller. there was a lady down, and I had stopped up above her because I didn't really want to ski that run, but I saw her down, and I yelled down, "Are you okay?" She said, "I'm okay, but I can't get up." And she's facing away from me, and I go skiing down to, I'm going to stop behind her and help her up, and I hit a patch of ice as I'm coming up on her, and I just go bowling ball style right into the back of her.
Oh, God.
And I just go rolling over the top of her, and I go on down the hill about 20 or 30 feet. And at that point in time, I was too far down the hill to get up and help her, so I just got up and skied on away, and I never let her see my face.
Radio in somebody else.
I thought Right. Maybe you knocked into her and knocked her to her feet and said, that's a technique that we've been working on.
That's awesome.
For all I know, I did. I really never looked back up. I was too embarrassed.
Did you ever consider being a trainer instead of a coach after that?
I've gotten asked if I was a trainer a few times. Running joke around here, actually.
Well, Coach, thanks for joining us. We've got three final questions for Coach Rodney Webb of Rockwall. One, now there's reports that running back Chris Warren, now at Texas, former Rockwall star, had a good fall scrimmage. Which of the former players that you've had over your tenure as a high school coach were you most certain was going to have success at the collegiate level?
Well, I felt really good about most of them, but the guy that I really knew beyond the shadow of a doubt was going to be successful was Stephon Sanders at SMU. And Stephon just had a maturity about him coming out of high school that I knew that he was going to let nothing get in his way, and he had a great career at SMU.
He surely did. Rush end at Mesquite Horn was really athletic and translated really well to college. Which do you prefer, Friday Night Lights, the TV show, or Varsity Blues, the movie?
No question about that. Varsity Blues, the movie, and I'll tell you why.
Well done.
Varsity Blues was filmed. Part of it was filmed in Georgetown. Part of it was filmed in Elgin. I started my coaching career at Elgin High School. And if you remember, the sex ed teacher in Varsity Blues, her classroom, there was a scene shot in her classroom. Mm-hmm. That was my former classroom at Elgin High School. Same classroom.
Wow.
Awesome. Okay, last question. Boots Burgers in Rockwall. Have you eaten there?
Yes, I have.
Would you rather have Boots Burgers or Whataburger?
That's a great question. That is a great question. Those are the two best hamburgers going. I would say this. You have to get there early for Boots Burgers, because if you don't get there early, they sell out. So if I can get there early, I'm going to Boots Burger every time. But by no means am I disappointed if I have to go to Whataburger.
Coach, we appreciate your time. Thank you very much, and good luck this week.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
All right, we're back for part two. Actually, we're calling this part three now.
Are we?
Hold on. All right, we're back with part three. Thank you a lot to Coach Webb for sitting in for that interview. It's nice, and we hope to have an interview and an Ask Sports Day HS little segment right now for, you know, like a mailbag. But we just keep on getting questions by former employees here. Meg Ryan.
Scott Bell asked a question.
Scott Bell asked a question, but I'm not going to answer that.
Did David just ask?
David just asked about deep snappers. Thanks, David. Hashtag Ask
Sports Day HS.
Yeah, we should come up with a jingle.
I mean, we've tried. We'll see how this goes next time.
Yeah, come on, guys. Quit being so lazy. Just hit us up on Twitter.
If you're too lazy to send a tweet,
we've answered every question. There's just nothing out there.
Well, Corbett's disclaimer.
Well, yeah, it's got to be a good question, or I'm not going to answer it. Okay, week one games. It's finally time for football. Yeah. Where are you guys going this week? Avi, you're staying in the office. I know that.
Thanks, Corbett.
Where are you going?
Sweet.
I'll be here in the office, too.
Oh, Greg. Where are you going?
She doesn't know yet. She's going to the Skyline game, I think.
Oh, that's going to be a good one.
Ooh, fun.
Well, I know I'll be in the office
South
for
Grand Prairie.
My reporting, that's a good game. I know that much for sure.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So it's our first day. So thanks for joining us on this.
I appreciate that, guys.
And?
I will be Friday night at Allen and Denton Geyer.
I will be at Allen and Denton Geyer on Friday night, too. Should be a big one. They're supposedly having jumpers to bring in the football or maybe the flag. I don't know which.
Either way, that sounds pretty impressive.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, and guess what? Guess where they're from?
Where?
Washington, D.C.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
All right. But there should be 16,000 people at the renovated.
18.
Oh, 18,000 people at the renovated but now kind of rejuvenated Allen Eagle Stadium.
Where they play, what do they play, 8 home games this year?
Play 8 home games.
That's what happens when you don't play any home games for 1 year.
Mark Conradi, one of the bosses here at Sports Day, who is not in charge of high schools, keeps telling me, look at ESD's schedule. His kids go to ESD. ESD has 2 home games. Their first game, the first home game is in October.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so they have senior night and homecoming. That's all they got.
Those concessions better be on point, because you don't have that many opportunities.
It should be bacon-wrapped hot dogs.
Oh.
Or, like, you know, for ESD, it should maybe be, like, lobster tail or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Other good options there. Okay, Thursday night I'm going out to Mesquite Horn and McKinney Boyd at Ron Poe. That's at 7 o'clock. It's probably the best Thursday night game.
That's a good game.
That's a good game.
Yeah, absolutely. You get Chris Robeson, the quarterback, who's really taking off recruiting-wise, and McKinney Boyd's one of the best teams in that district, 6-6A. And then the other games, when you look at the rest of the schedule, you've got Coppell at Hebron. Very interesting matchup there. Flower Mound Marcus at Mansfield. A lot of talent there at the Vernon Newsom on Friday night. Innis is hosting Mansfield Timberview.
That's a good one.
That's an awesome game.
A rematch.
That's a rematch of several rematches. Mm-hmm. But that was a playoff game. That was a non-district game last year. These two teams could conceivably, if they were left in like an open bracket, that could be two state finalists.
Unfortunately, they have to face each other in the second round if it goes like last year.
It's like the Soto syndrome.
Poteet and Lancaster. You'll get to test both of those programs.
Yep.
One out of the area game, Southlake Carroll at Austin Westlake, was a great game last year.
That's Todd Dodge, who coaches Austin Westlake.
That is Todd Dodge versus coach. Hal Wasson. Sock at Cedar Hill. I don't know if Sock's got a great shot against Cedar Hill, especially on the road, but. They certainly punch above their weight when it comes to the
preseason. They've got another monster preseason schedule.
Yeah, they've got a tough preseason schedule.
Got a couple nationally televised games as well.
Yeah. And you've also got Frisco Wakeland at Lake Dallas. Should be an interesting cross-district rivalry there. And Wiley and Sachse. Wiley plays Sachse at Garland's Williams Stadium on Friday. Wiley, always kind of coming off the radar. And Sachse, of course, everybody you know, knows what Sachse has, at least in terms of talent this year. On Saturday, you got a couple of really big games. Euless Trinity versus California's De La Salle, the number one ranked
Concord.
Team. Concord at De La Salle, the number one ranked team in the country, according to USA Today.
And I mean, I make no bones about it. I'm rooting hard for Trinity in this game, but I do wish that
rooting.
Yeah, I know I don't do that.
They're cheering in the podcast.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, somebody's going to come in and tell me no.
They're going to take. They're going to knock the Chick-fil-A out of your hand. Get out of here.
But I do wish this was a different Trinity team that maybe had a little more experience going into this first game. And it's not to say that Trinity can't win it, but I think if Trinity is going to be a powerhouse, and I think they're going to be very good at the end of the season, but I think it's going to take a little while. I mean, they do have Tyler Natee and Jerron Watt.
Right.
excuse me.
And Chris Daniels.
Chris Daniels, a great defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. But I think they are going to be a team that's much better in 10 weeks.
No, there's no question. That's always Lineweaver's thing was, like, every week they were getting better.
It should be a nice quick game because both teams run the ball a ton.
Yeah, except for it's on TV.
True.
And they're going to be running the ball during the TV time.
De La Salle lost its scrimmage, which means nothing. But
so did Allen.
And so did
IMG Academy, which everybody's
that was not a
there.
Scrimmage.
Oh, no, that was. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of IMG Academy.
IMG
I got my wrong. I got my wrong out of
that
state.
Game may start very late because it's preceded by DeSoto and Arlington Martin, and that could be like 60 to 50.
Yeah. And I see that's the game that I would be more interested in. I'm covering the De La Salle Trinity game, which, you know, it should be exciting. De La Salle held the longest winning streak in the nation at one point. That was like 150-something games.
They had a movie made about them.
Yeah. Well, I didn't see it.
It was filmed in New Orleans, even though they're in California where movies are made.
That seems a very curious choice. But
there
New
wasn't
Orleans, maybe
water
they were
in California to do.
Oh, snap.
A drought situation.
Making jokes about natural disasters. Matt Wixon, everybody. That's M. Wixon
at
DallasNews.com.
Chicago Tribune on the phone.
DeSoto Trinity is going to be a really good one.
DeSoto
I think
Martin.
DeSoto Martin. Because Martin's got, you know, a ton back. And, you know, DeSoto, this is really going to be their, you know, their season. Everybody's expecting them to just come out of the gates roaring.
Mm-hmm.
Should be an interesting
matchup. As a side note, 4 o'clock start in August. Is it worth it to get on TV? Because, I mean, I'm assuming that it got moved. They decided we'll play at 4 if we can be on ESPN as a doubleheader.
Well, you know, DeSoto's been practicing in the afternoons.
Oh, I know, but that doesn't – I mean, and I'm glad they're prepared for it, and I'm sure Martin's doing the same thing. And I know their coaches will take all kinds of precautions. But you put on pads and a helmet at 4 o'clock – and I'm hoping it somehow dips like low 90s, but it could be 101. I just know a few years ago I went out and covered Highland Park in the Landry Classic.
Tom Landry Classic at SMU.
And after that game, Randy Allen said, I don't think we're doing this anymore. And they rescheduled, so they played.
His fedora had melted on his head.
And you know what? I mean,
it was stifling in that stadium. I was there with you that day.
Yeah.
And it was probably 120 or 130 on that field. Bowl Stadium, no wind blowing through. Another game I think of note that I'll point out is Prestonwood and Bel Air Episcopal out of Houston. Bel Air Episcopal will be...
That's a 4 o'clock, too.
Is it?
Yep.
Bel Air Episcopal is going to be the favorite in the large school division in the SPC. Worth noting, they've got Marvin Wilson, a defensive tackle who is considered the best player in the country by rivals, who's a big old angry hoss. Really interesting that SPC has a couple of really high-end tackles when you look at Michael Williams, Marvin Wilson. Really interesting that you know that SPC might be the dominant defensive tackle area, at least for prospects in the state. Any other thoughts from you guys? We've been going kind of long today.
Yeah, I can't believe the season's here.
He sounded really excited, boy.
I am excited, but
can't believe the season.
There's a lot of stuff we do during the football season, for sure.
And this is one of the things.
Be sure to follow our website for all the live stats and live play-by-play that we will have that you will find nowhere else.
We're excited to bring the football season to you guys. Thanks for listening. We should be on iTunes later this week, and you should be able to subscribe to us on iTunes, but we'll see how the
How much is
uploading.
That, Corbett?
I think that is $10 to Corbett Smith. Care of the Dallas Morning News.
If you can send a Frito pie in an envelope to Corbett.
Do not do that. But maybe a free Frito pie.
Coupon.
Yeah, a coupon. Yeah, there we go.
Coupon.
Okay, thanks for listening, guys, and we'll be back next week.